Speak, Lord, for we see it. Amen. The transfiguration of Jesus. This moment when Jesus is seen in a radiance of glory, shining bright. It's an otherworldly experience. It's a mysterious moment for the disciples who are traveling with Jesus. And in the midst of this incredible encounter, as Jesus is shining radiantly white and bright, two other figures appear, Moses and Elijah. Well, as you can imagine, the people who write big Bible commentaries about books like this really go to town at this point. Because the symbolism and the meaning of Moses and Elijah appearing at this point is, well, it's rich material. Moses was the one who rescued the people, rescued them from Egypt, led them to the promised land. Elijah was this incredible, charismatic leader of the people who challenged corrupt authorities. It is said of Elijah that he did not die, but instead he was taken up to meet God as a chariot swung low and came and took him. Was it just me that was singing Swing Low yesterday afternoon, Gordon? Elijah carried off in that chariot to be with God. And because of that, stories began to circulate that maybe at the end of time, Elijah would return. Maybe when the Messiah came, Elijah would come too. Some even wondered whether Elijah would be Messiah. And certainly there would be plenty of people at the time of Jesus who were praying for a new Moses to deliver them. Everything seemed to be going wrong in their culture and the day that they were living. The Romans had invaded, they'd taken over everything. They were an oppressed people, living as exiles in their own land. They needed a new Moses. They needed a new Elijah. And here on the mountain, here Jesus, transfigured by God, is joined by Moses and Elijah. And the disciples do not know what to do. Peter decides they should do something both practical and religious and build some tabernacles, build some shelters for them all to stay in. You've got to love a man who tries to be religious and tries to be practical at the same time. And yet, is this not a moment for just falling down on your face in wonder? For Jesus is radiant in all his glory. Moses knew a thing or two about encountering the glory of God. Do you remember how Moses first meets God? Out in the wilderness, Moses sees a bush that is burning and yet somehow not consumed by the fire. This is seen as a symbol of God's glorious presence. The old rabbis used to comment that probably this bush had been burning forever with the presence of God, and Moses is simply the first person to stop and notice what is going on. Either way, Moses encounters the holiness of God in that place, and God speaks with him and leads him on. But Moses also encountered God in all God's splendor on top of a mountain. Some many years later. an encounter with God's splendor that not only produces the Ten Commandments as rules and regulations for the people, but somehow affects Moses in such a way that the people cannot bear to look at him. He is still reflecting the radiant splendor of God. Moses knew something about encountering the glory of God. Elijah knew something about encountering the glory of God. I've already tried to tell a little bit of his story this morning already, but Elijah encounters God in the triumph of Mount Carmel. It's actually a more unsettling story than we sometimes allow when dealing with it with children, because the unsettling bit of it is that not only does he defeat the prophets of Baal and Ashtaroth, but orders them all massacred. It's an extraordinary victory that is deeply troubling. But in that moment, Elijah encounters something of the powerful, terrible, powerful splendor of the God who comes with fire and burns up. But that's not Elijah's only encounter with the splendor of God. And I dare to say that it's not even his most lasting encounter with the splendor of God, because we find Elijah in the aftermath of Mount Carmel utterly deflated. Yes, he is clearly fearful of what the queen has planned for him. Yes, he has reason to fear for his life, but it seems to be something more than that. Have any of you ever had a wonderful experience, an encounter of God, maybe an incredible festival that you've been to, or a concert you've attended, maybe even a preacher's sermon, but perhaps not here? Have you ever had that moment of thinking, wow, I could almost see God, I could almost touch God? And then a few days later, you're thinking, where's it gone? And sometimes those mountaintop experiences are followed by difficult struggles. That was the case for Elijah. He won an amazing victory, but was still left depressed and alone, praying that he might die. He believed he was the only one who really understood. He believed he was the only one who truly followed God, and that was a lonely place to be. But God nurtures him, cares for him, and takes him to this place of encounter. And as we've said already this morning, it was not in the powerful wind. It was not in the terrifying earthquake. It was not in fire from heaven that Elijah truly encounters the splendor of God, but in the still, small voice, or as one of the other translators puts it, the sound of sheer silence. Moses knew what it was to encounter God in all God's splendor. Elijah knew what it was to encounter God in all God's splendor. But something different is taking place in the Transfiguration. This is not simply another encounter with the splendor of God in the natural phenomenon around them. This is an encounter with the splendor and majesty and glory of God shining in the face of the carpenter of Nazareth. The true splendor of the Transfiguration is that the glory of God in this story is not encountered in a burning bush or fire sent from heaven. The glory of God is encountered in a man transformed, in a person transfigured. So why do Moses and Elijah turn up? Perhaps to remind us that there are other places and other ways that we might seek the glory of God. But that they came to Jesus himself. Jesus transfigured is where true, radiant glory lies. For Jesus is different. Mark's gospel has brought us to this point and will draw us on quickly and sure-footedly to the cross and resurrection of Jesus. Jesus has begun to tell his disciples what will come next. And it's not what they would have expected. It's not where they would have sought glory. They might have been hoping for some sort of armed struggle. They might have been hoping for fire from heaven. They might have been hoping for legions of angels to join Jesus, to drive the Romans out, to re-establish faith as it should have been. But instead, they have this one person who is different. And he points beyond himself to the death that he must die and the resurrection that puzzles them greatly but will be the true expression of God's glory here on earth. The transfiguration of Jesus is strangely, in all its glory, in all its beauty, it's a prefiguring of what will take place on the cross and the conclusion of the cross, which is the resurrection. Jesus' transfiguration draws our attention forward to the cross where he will die, and the death that will be defeated. The disciples were not only puzzled on the mountain, but they were puzzled as they left too. Now they'd stopped worrying about whether to build shelters for Moses and Elijah. Now they were debating amongst themselves what it meant for Jesus to be risen. What did it mean for the Son of Man to rise again? And they could no more explain that than they could explain what they had encountered on the mountain. But it would be the thing that changed everything for them. And it would be a moment of transfiguration when they too encountered the risen Lord Jesus. For now they had to trust. For now they had to journey. For now they had to take with them the words coming out of the cloud. This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him. In our world, people seek experience and encounter. They seek something dramatic and life-changing. And the voice of God speaks and says, "Listen. This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him. Look to him. Live for him. Let us pray. Lord, refresh our memories. Remind us of the times we have encountered you, the words, the places, the people. Reignite those memories within us, we pray. But Lord, lead us on too, that we might meet you again and again in the people around us, in the realities of our life, and in the transforming power of your love. Come, Lord, speak, for we seek to listen for your voice. Amen. It is a thing most wonderful, almost too wonderful to be, that God's own Son should come from heaven and die to save a child like me. We'll use these wonderful old words to the wonderful old tune as we stand, if you're comfortable standing, and sing, "It is a thing most wonderful." It is a thing most wonderful, almost too wonderful to be, that God's own Son should come from heaven and die to save a child like me. And yet I know that it is true, he came to this poor world below, and wept and toiled and mourned and died, only because he loved us so. Must be most wonderful if he could die my love to win. It is most wonderful to know his love for me, so free and sure, but it's more so faint and poor. And yet I want to love you, Lord. Oh, teach me how to grow in grace, and I will love you more and more until I see face to face. It is a thing most wonderful, almost too wonderful.
to be that God's own Son should come from heaven and die to save a child like me.
Please be seated. As we draw towards a close, this is that time in the service where if there are things that you would like to pray for or to ask for us to pray for, then we can bring you the microphone. Thank you, Andrew. Your timing is exquisite. We'll bring you a microphone. Tell us what it is you want to pray for or lead us in prayer. Or tell us stories of what's been going on with you. But let's use this time together, and then we'll draw our prayers to a close in a few moments' time. So can I bring the microphone to anyone? I can see Denise waving at me.
I'd just like to give thanks for the safe arrival of Felix Taylor Chan in Singapore to Lindsay and Steve. He is an answer to more prayers than anybody could ever believe. So we thank you, God, for his safe arrival and for their family.
And the people all said, Amen. And it's lovely to have proud grandparents with us this morning. That's such good news. Let me bring it over to Arthur.
So I'd like to ask us all to pray for the Windrush situation, because it's raised its head again. Anybody who doesn't know about it, it's...
Just a little close to your mouth, Arthur.
It's a time when it's gone into the background again. And Elaine shared with me this morning something that worried me, that the government of the day has decided to push ahead with sort of taking people back to the West Indies who've lived here all their lives. And there was a little story we read this morning that really, really did worry me. And I don't say this politically, I say it as a Christian. There was a young man who unfortunately was so driven to despair, or if some people like to see that way, he sinned, he stole, he was put in prison and paid his price for 2 months. It wasn't a big sin. Are there big sins and small sins? But anyway, he stole 10 years ago. For the last 10 years, he has lived, as we all do, in this country. He's got a partner, a wife, and a small child. But under the new way that we deport people back to the West Indies, because he sinned, because he did wrong, they're now going to deport him back to the West Indies, somewhere that he hasn't ever lived. Leave his wife, who's British, English, whatever, in this country with a small child. Separate them, and there's no appeal. I would just ask this church, as we always have done, to pray for them. As you prayed for my daughter in Singapore and God answered the prayer, I pray that our prayers will be answered by our God. And it just made me think this morning about forgiveness. You know, this person did wrong. Who else hasn't done wrong and been forgiven? If we were all deported to somewhere and we did wrong, it would be a poor old place, wouldn't it? Father, I hope you've heard this. And I pray in your Son's name, Jesus, for this couple. Amen.
Amen. The whole issue of where we are at home in this world and wherever there is opportunity to change that, it's amazing how we tell different stories depending on the amount of money that's involved. The difference between being an expat and a refugee or a migrant. It's amazing how we use this language differently. Friday, set a new record for the number of people rescued in the Channel who were trying to cross in small boats to reach the UK. It was something like 102 were rescued on Friday. It was a new record, beating the previous record, which was the day before. We live in times when people are desperate, and we need to look for ways of being compassionate as well as hard-nosed and sensible. We need some compassion somewhere. Arthur, thank you for reminding us. Graham wants the microphone.
Nice one, Arthur. To add to what Arthur said, I received information via the organisation 38 Degrees about what Arthur discussed, and they are running a petition if anybody's interested in doing something positive about it to help these people. Also, there's a rather nasty plague of locusts in places like Kenya.
Let us pray. Yes, Lord, for these places that have been afflicted with this plague of locusts, which seems to have come so hard on the heels of the difficult fires that Australia has coped with, and the other storms and floods that are issues in different parts of the world. Lord, we do pray that you will give the resources needed to the authorities doing what they can to alleviate the suffering. But Lord, also challenge us about the way that we live is affecting things for other people in other places. Lord, keep on our hearts and minds the challenge of the climate emergency. Amen. We have a lovely couple who come to church on a fairly regular basis. They are from the People's Republic of China. Forgive me that I struggled to get their name when I spoke to them the last time I spoke to them. Their English is very poor, but their smiles are wonderful. And they love coming and joining us for worship here. I know that the last time I saw them a few months ago, they were heading back to the People's Republic for a period of time. So I guess they're in China at the moment, which reminds me that there are so many people in China who are living very fearfully at the moment because of this novel coronavirus that has already killed more people than the SARS outbreak in 2003. It is affecting people in other places. A plane will land today and take people to quarantine in Milton Keynes. But let's be praying for this outbreak. There are all sorts of diseases that kill all sorts of people around the world. I guess what's different about this is that it's new, it's scary because we don't have the treatments available yet, and it seems to be spreading quite quickly. So let us pray for those trying to make a difference. Lord, we do pray for those who are grieving the loss of loved ones through the coronavirus, for those who are currently infected and are living with the worry of that, and for those who have been quarantined because they may have come into contact. And Lord, we pray for others who are simply finding that they're having to take different decisions about how they live, for those who are not going to school at the moment in some parts of the world, for whatever reason. Lord, for those who are not travelling as they would have done previously. Lord, we pray that you'll give wisdom and patience to all caught up in this outbreak, that we might find a solution quickly that causes minimal loss of life and that sees normality returned to some of those communities. So, Lord, we pray particularly for the city of Wuhan at the centre of this outbreak, but also for those affected around the world. And we pray for the researchers who are working quickly and swiftly to try and find a way of combating this illness. Lord, give them great wisdom too, we pray. Amen. Plagues of locusts, fires, floods, pestilence, you might have read the book of Revelation and be worried. I have it on decent authority that Jesus will not return today. The Bible also says, be careful, for he will come when you least expect him. No, we don't know, do we? But please, don't spread fear and anxiety based on the reading of one or two verses of scriptures. There are so many other things in there that give us confidence and hope. We do live in troubled and troubling times. But so did those who first encountered Jesus. And his promise was not what they were expecting, but it was exactly what they needed. So as we draw our service to a conclusion, we do so worshipping the God who came, the God who is, and the God who always will be. So let's stand as we sing and worship using the song Meekness and Majesty. Thank you. And so may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with each and every one of us and those whom we love, now and always. May God bless us, that we might be a blessing to others. Amen.